This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be with you. For those who are in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream, it's my joy to worship alongside of you this morning. I would like to invite all of you to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row that may be passed down, or there's a QR code in the bulletin if you'd like to scan that and use your phone to register rather than passing the pad. If you're online, there's a link available to you that you can see, that you can click on to register and let us know that you were here. If you're visiting us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we would love for you to share a mailing address or an email address with us, and that will give us a chance to reach out to you and tell you a little bit more about who we are and how we're trying to serve God in our community. I would like to remind those of you, if you are a church member, to dig out your old name tags and get back in the habit of wearing your name tag. We have some people who have joined the church during the pandemic and who have not met folks face to face, and it really helps if there's a name tag and we can begin to get to know each other and to welcome our visitors with even more hospitality. A couple of more of announcements as we gather. There is a pretty large group of folks from the church going to the Sounds game together on Tuesday night. And if you ordered tickets, they will be available in Reed Hall right after the service. You can pick those up from Emily Robbins, our youth director. They'll also be available Monday and Tuesday at the front desk of the church. Also, next Sunday, we invite you to participate during the Sunday School Hour in the second installment of our Project Thrive Conversations. You can join in your Sunday School room if you're in a class, in the fourth story theater if you'd like to join us there, or online over live stream. And we will be sharing some demographic information we've learned about our congregation, about our community, and consider what that might mean for how God is calling us. Finally, we are wanting to invite our Guatemala mission team members to come forward so that we can bless them and pray for them and consecrate them for their work that they're about to do. So I will hand it over to Stacy.
And as they're coming forward to the altar, I want to welcome our colleague, Reverend Darren. He comes to us from Belmont United Methodist Church. We are overjoyed to have Michaela from Belmont joining us on our trip this year. Thank you, Michaela. We already had a blessing in the 8:45 service, and I also want to draw your attention to the fact that two of our members live in Florida, so they are being blessed virtually. Harvey and Hank, we are with you and praying for you. We are going down to work with ODIM, the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya. They have clinics that do incredible work. When the pandemic hit last year, we were supposed to go there. And I don't know if you remember March of 2020, but I was glad we didn't go because we would have been stuck in the country. They pivoted. They ended up making masks for their community. They made hand sanitizer for their community. And we've been so overjoyed to be a partner with them, even from here. When we go down next week, we will be in the clinic, expanding their medical capacity. We will also be building stoves as part of their home improvement programs to help improve respiratory health in their homes. So we will now pray.
Members and friends of West End United Methodist Church and representatives of Belmont United Methodist Church, before us today stand, either here in person or virtually online, those who are ready for a particular assignment as volunteers in mission, who wish to dedicate themselves to their task, which starts on July 31st. Now we, as a congregation, are to commission them and send them forth in the name of Christ and the church. And these are the names of the friends we are commissioning today: Harvey, Hank, Michaela, Trey, Mary Frances, Caroline, Casey, and Stacy. We rejoice that you have resolved in your hearts to devote time, talents, and energy for 1 week with the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya.
Your labors will take you to the people of Guatemala, and the people of Guatemala will also be on mission to you as they likewise share their faith. You go as pilgrims to see where God is at work there and to join in the work that God has been and is doing there. Through word and deeds, you are to testify to the infinite love of God. Such a task confers a great privilege. It also places upon you a solemn responsibility.
So, my friends, will you earnestly seek to carry forward this ministry in the Spirit of Christ, in cooperation with your fellow team members and leader, and with respect for national church officials and local hosts? If so, will you say, I will, the Lord being my helper. If you will kneel, let us pray together. Almighty God, whose love for the whole family of humankind has been made known to us through Jesus, send your blessing upon these, your servants, soon to go forth to join you in mission with the people of Guatemala. Grant that they may be guided and strengthened for their task, that they may be open to new truths and insights from their hosts, and that they may be given good health and traveling mercies, to the end that your name be glorified in all the earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as you stand, we promise to keep you in our prayers as you travel and experience Christ in Guatemala. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord, our God.
Praise the Lord who hears the roar of hungry stomachs.
Praise the Lord who accepts his disciples to help others.
Who are the disciples of the Lord? When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming prayers out of our wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So then, let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. God of abundance, we confess we have not trusted you with all our needs. We have let fear dictate our actions, and upon hearing the cries of our neighbors, have held tightly to that which we have received. We have underestimated your concern for us, and in our fear of abandonment, we have looked for safety and security apart from you. Forgive us, loving God. Free us from the stronghold scarcity and fear have wrapped around our hearts. Maker of mountains, you are more than enough to satisfy our needs. Embolden us, your church, to convey the abundance of your kingdom, that all of creation may know of your ever-flowing care and love. Amen. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we are going to exchange a little more COVID-cautious exchange of signs of reconciliation and love. Not everybody here is comfortable with shaking hands, so you can do elbow bump, a little wave, a smile, a little bow, peace symbol. That way we'll all make sure that everybody feels comfortable during this time and welcomed with the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. Great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Colin and Olivia Schnee-Weiss bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Colin and Olivia, it seems only yesterday standing right there as you were exchanging your wedding vows, and here we are. And now I have the privilege of asking questions of the faith. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord and with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, will you say, I will?
I will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, and he was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water in this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your beautiful daughter?
Virginia Allen.
Virginia Allen Schneeweiss, I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our advocate and sustainer. Amen. And now, Virginia, your parents and Pastor Brandon and I are all going to place a hand on you as together the whole congregation prays for the Holy Spirit in your life. Holy Spirit, work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus. And now we're going to invite you all to stand in front of the altar so that the congregation can take this moment to make our promises and take our vows for you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Virginia Allen? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Virginia Allen to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Virginia Allen, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite any children who are here to come forward and pick one of these little pads to sit on. And if you're worshiping with us from home, come a little bit closer to your screens and join me for just a moment to talk about this story. Any takers in the sanctuary?
Maybe not.
Okay. Oh, here you go. Thanks. Trendsetter. That's right.
Thank you
for joining me up here. This is a great, powerful, wonderful story about Jesus feeding a large group of people. And so to help us think about the story, I want us to imagine, everybody, all grown-ups and everything, imagine that we're up here, we're the disciples of Jesus, and Jesus is here. He's about to start teaching us, but then we see this crowd of people coming. This is all the big crowd that starts coming toward Jesus' disciples. And it's, it's almost 11:30. It's almost lunchtime. They must be hungry. How are we going to feed all of these people? Well, there was a little boy in the crowd who brought his lunch. See, that says lunch. And all it was 5 barley cakes and a couple of fish. At this, I think, could this possibly feed all of these people out here? I don't think so. This is a really small lunch, and that's a lot of hungry people. But you know what? That boy believed that Jesus could take what he gave him and make something big happen. And so he gave Jesus his lunch. And because he did that, Jesus gave thanks to God for this little bitty lunch. And he started handing it out, and it was enough for everybody. So that tells me that if we take what we have and are willing to share it, and we're willing to trust Jesus with what we have and trust that we'll get enough too, Jesus can do some pretty amazing things. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the faith of that little boy who shared his lunch with Jesus. Thank you for the power of Jesus to use what we share and make it bigger. Help us to be kind and generous and ready to share. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. If you wouldn't mind helping us collect these little blue circles. There you go, Stacy. Thank you. Well, as many of you know, because I talked about it in my Monday meditation this week, I have spent the past week at a family reunion, a Methodist camp meeting that's been going on for 195 years. We go to church at least two times a day. It's three times a day if you wake up early for prayer meeting. And we eat, and we eat, and we eat, and we eat. And even though we've eaten three full meals, we eat after church at night, just a constant feasting and eating. So it's only fitting that on the Sunday I return home from camp meeting, I'm reading about a feast and all sorts of abundance and good food. As I mentioned in the announcements, we are going to be taking our time walking through this sixth chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus feeds the multitudes. This is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. And John particularly takes this story and makes it longer and uses it for Jesus to be able to teach about himself and how he is the bread of life. So we're going to explore this story together for the next 3 weeks and ponder the bread of life. We're going to be looking at three different themes taken from our communion liturgy. You may remember, if you've heard the communion liturgy, how we remember as we lift up the bread that Jesus took the bread and blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it. So those are our three themes for this next 3 weeks. Today we're going to consider blessing, what it means to be blessed. So we heard the story. We just sort of recounted it with the children. Jesus is in the midst of his Galilean ministry. He has crowds and throngs of people following him at this point. And on this particular day, he goes over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee and goes up a mountain to teach his disciples. He's gathered there. He's probably preparing to give them some special instruction. But lo and behold, they look, and coming up the hill is a throng of thousands. And John says they're following Jesus because of the signs he has done for the sick. He is a healer, and these are people who are seeking healing. They want more of the presence of the healer, and so they come in throngs. And as Jesus sees them, the first thing he asks is, how are we going to care for these people? How are we going to feed these people? Now, John tells us Jesus knows already what he's going to do, but he uses this episode as an opportunity to teach his disciples, to test their faith in him. And so he turns to Philip. And this is one of the reasons I love John's gospel, is because there are other disciples besides Peter, James, and John who get speaking parts, and Philip is one of them. Jesus turns to Philip and says, how are we to buy food for all these people? And what does Philip do? Well, he gets out a calculator. Not really. Maybe it was an abacus. He just starts running the numbers. He starts thinking in terms of exchange and money and economics. And he says 6 months' wages would not be enough to give every person in the crowd even a little. Do you hear those numbers? 6 months' wages, everyone, just a little. He's calculating. It's not enough. It's not enough, Jesus. It's not enough. There's no way. Not enough. But then Andrew walks up, and he starts off like maybe with a little bit of hope. Maybe he has a glimpse of what might be possible, because he says, well, there's this little boy who has a lunch. It's five loaves and two fish. But then he looks at the crowd and says, but what is that among so many? It's not enough, Andrew says. It's not enough, Jesus. There's no way. So I'm not sure they passed the test. So Jesus himself takes over the situation and says, make the people sit down. And here there's this beautiful sentence that seems sort of unnecessary, but I think paints a picture of abundance for us. It says, now there was a great deal of grass in the place. Just this image of lushness and green and soft grass for all of these people to be comfortable on. And I'm reminded of the 23rd Psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. This God of provision and hospitality invites all the people to have a seat at the table on the grass. And then Jesus takes this little lunch that I assume the little boy has given him, and he gives thanks for it. He gives thanks to God for this little bitty lunch of 5 little barley cakes and 2 little fish. And then he blesses it. He blesses the giving of this little lunch. And then he begins to distribute the bread and the fish. And we know what happened. It just keeps coming and growing, and everyone gets more than enough and is satisfied. And lo and behold, there are 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, John makes it very clear in the way he tells this story that this is not just a miracle about putting food in people's stomachs. This is a sign. In John's gospel, there are 7 signs. And this is a sign that points to the very nature of God. A sign that points beyond Jesus just being a healer. A sign that points to a God of abundance. A God whose will and desire is for all people to have enough. A God who has the power and the love to pour out blessing upon blessing upon blessing. A God who reveals that with God there is always more than enough. So we have this God of abundance, this God who is ready to bless us and to bless creation. And yet so often we are more like Peter, more like Philip, more like Andrew. And we dwell in scarcity. There's not enough. We look at all the needs in the world. We look at the things we're facing in our own lives. We look at all of the things out there and we think, that I don't have enough to deal with this. We don't have enough to address this problem. It's not enough. I don't have enough. There's not enough. We've seen it at work in very real ways in the recent past. Anybody remember the toilet paper run at the beginning of the pandemic? There's this idea, there's not enough toilet paper. So I went to the store and we bought off the shelves. I saw people leaving the store with, you know, 8 stacks of toilet paper. The same thing happened with gas when the ransomware attacked one of the pipelines and we got word that there might be a little bit of a gas shortage in the southeast. And everybody ran out to get gas, and I saw someone not only filling their car but filling all of these jugs of gas. And people were saying, you know, if everybody would just get what they needed, there would be enough. But because this is our tendency, there are places in our world, there are people in our world who do not get enough. But this story reveals to us that it is the heart of God, the will of God, the desire of God, that we would all have enough. Not just of material things, but of spiritual things. That there is enough grace, there is enough love, there is enough forgiveness, and then some for everybody. But sometimes we act like there's a limited supply, and so we have to decide who gets it and who doesn't, who's worthy of inclusion and who isn't, who's worthy of forgiveness and who isn't, who is loved and who isn't. And so we take control and try to parcel it out ourselves to make sure we get what we need. I don't know about you, but I am so much more like Philip and Andrew in this story. There's only one person in the story who seems to believe and trust in who Jesus is. And it's no wonder, it's a child. He has this little lunch, 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. And we don't really know how it transpired, but I imagine he overheard the disciples talking with Jesus and felt their anxiety. And somehow, through the generosity of his spirit and just trusting in who Jesus was, he offered his little lunch. He had the faith to believe that Jesus could do something with it, that Jesus could take this little bit and somehow feed 5,000 people. And he believed that if he gave his lunch up, I mean, he handed over his lunch to Jesus and let it go. Somehow he trusted that he would be fed too. So I wonder, for myself and for you, what is it that's out there that feels overwhelming to you? What is it that feels like a multitude of 5,000 people with all of their needs coming right at you? A trial that you think there is just no way you can get through it. I don't have enough in me to get through this. Maybe it's facing a regimen of chemotherapy or a diagnosis that's going to take a long time to walk through. Maybe it's a broken relationship or a family situation that you think is just too much for me to deal with, and there's no way my own power I can heal this relationship. Maybe it's thinking of all the needs in our community, and as we've seen our friends living in homelessness and the increasing number of people who are coming into the door of the church, and it's overwhelming sometimes, especially when they're in a mental health crisis. And we think, we don't have enough resources. We don't know how to. Maybe there's something in your life or something that we together are facing, and we're living in that place of scarcity. We just don't have enough to deal with it. But my family in Christ, Jesus the Christ is with us. Our God is a God of abundance. And if we can have faith that Jesus can do more with our little lunches than we could possibly imagine, maybe that will help us let go. So in the next few moments, I want to invite you, I'm going to give us just a few moments of silence together. I want to invite you, if you feel led, to hold out your hands in your lap and think about your own little lunch. Maybe there's something in your life that you're gripping hold of really tightly that you really want to control. It's the only thing you can control. And imagine letting that go, handing it over to Jesus, and allowing him to bless it and provide enough for you. Let us spend a few moments in silence together, and then I'll close us in prayer. O God of abundance and blessing and love and faithfulness and provision and mercy, there is so much in our lives that can overwhelm us. I don't know what each person in this time of worship is facing. I know some of the things we are facing together. It's easy for us to feel inadequate, but we don't have enough. To think we have to respond out of our own power alone. But, oh God, you are a God who provides us strength and courage and boldness and patience and love. Help us to let go of the tight grip we have on control. Forgive us our attitude of scarcity. Help us to hand over to you our little lunches and trust that you'll provide for us and you will bless us and use what we share to bless others beyond measure. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.
Now, people who live out of the abundance of God, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join me as we speak our affirmation of faith together. It's found on 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayers with us this week with the pastoral team so that we might pray for them, if you are in the sanctuary, you may fill out one of the gray cards in the pew racks located in front of you and place those in the offering boxes either at the back in the narthex or to your right outside of Reed Hall. If you are online and worshiping with us, you may share your prayer concerns with us by going to the link under Contact Us on our website. This morning, our prayers of sympathy and remembrance are with Ralph Cadenhead and his friends and family, who are mourning the death of his mother, Rachel Catherine Petillo Cadenhead, who passed away on June 23rd in Florence, Alabama, and services were held there for her on June 28th. And then just 3.5 weeks later, Ralph's father, William Cadenhead, died on July 18th, 2021, in Florence, Alabama. And so our prayers are with Ralph and his friends and family as they mourn at this time of great loss. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of abundant goodness and grace, in the story of the loaves and fishes, you surprise us again with your extravagant provision. We are so used to living under the false shadow of scarcity. We act as if there is only so much to go around, whether it be physical resources or spiritual and emotional needs. We fear that there will not be enough for us and then for others too. And so we pray that you would assure us of your care for us, for others, and for the world. We pray that people everywhere would know your sustaining presence. And may your Holy Spirit attune us to the great gifts all around us and help us more adequately share and enjoy and take care of the many gifts that you have given us in this glorious creation. Spirit of love and life, your baskets overflow with never-ending signs of hope in a hurting world. And we are in desperate need of your hope this day. We pray for our world this morning as we continue to struggle against a persistent virus that won't yet release us from its grip. We pray for those who continue to be sick. We pray for those who face death. And we pray for people everywhere who continue to face fear or trepidation in the ongoing surges of this pandemic. We pray for our leaders as they make decisions about how to best guide us in these moments. We pray that they would be guided by your wisdom and compassion. We continue to pray for our healthcare workers who are still on the front line. May they demonstrate and channel your healing care. And we pray for one another that we might remember each other's well-being as we consider our own behaviors and choices amidst continued sickness and suffering. In our living and our loving, may we also overflow with never-ending signs of hope. Christ Jesus, you are the bread of life that feeds our weary souls. Fill us with your comfort and peace this day. Be with all who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. May they sense the fullness of your mercy and care. All these things we pray as we lift up other petitions that are on our hearts and minds. And now, as people whose hungry hearts have been satisfied by the bread of life, we join our voices together in prayer, as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. And so that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping online with us this morning, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those of you worshiping in person this morning, if you would like to give a physical donation, there are offering boxes, as I mentioned before, in the narthex at the back of our sanctuary and also to your right in Reed Hall, where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and all of our offerings, and even our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
We have gathered in the presence of Christ, been invited to take a seat on the soft green grass. We've been fed and filled. And now we are invited to go out into the world and trust that through the power of Christ, we will have everything we need to be blessed and to bless others. And may that give us peace. Amen.